Reading is taken from John's Gospel and the 10th chapter, starting to read at verse 7. If you're following on the Pew Bibles, it's page 1086. John chapter 10, verses 7 to 18. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. All who enter through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep, so when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is the word of the Lord.
So we've lit our Easter candle. It's a great symbol. But it speaks to us of so many things. The candle has one purpose, though. The purpose of giving light. But the question to ponder, I suppose, is how does it do it? It burns, of course, by using the wax that it is made of. It gives itself in order to give light. End of sermon. Really. All the rest is commentary, as they say. The candle is living by giving. And in this way, its purpose, or its mission, you might like to call it, is fulfilled. And Jesus' purpose or mission is stated very clearly in John 10:10. I have come, he said, that they may have life and have it in abundance. It's all about life for Jesus. And it's all about life for us, if we are followers of Christ. And in our reading this morning, we see a number of things. Firstly, we see how he fulfills that mission. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus gives life by giving his life. Jesus gives life by giving his life. The motive, of course, behind Christ's living by giving is made clear to us by the picture that he paints of these two people in this analogy. The hireling, the hired man, and the shepherd himself. Two kinds of people, both doing the same job, looking after the sheep. And he says, look at the hired hand. When he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. This is the hired hand who, like Jesus described himself as the gate, lies across the entrance to the sheep pen. The sheep pen is there, but it doesn't have a gate, a five-bar gate on it in those days. It had just a person who was the shepherd, or who was the one who looked after the sheep. Sometimes it was a hired person, other times it was the shepherd himself. Lying across that sheep pen entrance in order to allow the sheep to come in and go out and find pasture, and to, at night especially, protect the sheep from assault, from danger. The hired hand, he says, when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep. He runs off. Why? And Jesus uses his words carefully. Because he cares nothing for the sheep. He's living his life on his oughts and his musts. He's not living a life out of love or care for those sheep. The shepherd does care for the sheep because he owns the sheep. They are his. And Jesus says he knows them by name. I know my sheep and they know me. And of course, that knowing is not just a hi, okay, or are you a Facebook friend or that sort of thing. It's just about knowing in the same way as the Father knows the Son and the Son knows the Father. The Father loves the Son and the Son loves the Father. It's that kind of knowing. And he loves the sheep. And I, says Jesus, because of that I lay down my life for the sheep. So Jesus could not make it clearer that his motive for living by giving is love. It's sacrificial love. But he says it's not just for these sheep. That is the people of Israel, the Jews. These are the sheep in the sheep pen that he is called first of all to come to. But rather, he says in verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, and I must bring them also. This is the divine imperative. This is the I can do no other, because I am so passionate about seeing these other sheep come into the safety and love and security of the sheep pen that I will do anything in order that they might come. I will give down, lay down, give my life for these sheep. These sheep that I have no contact with, no personal friendship with, and yet I must lay down my life for them. Clearly, Jesus' longing is that all people of all nations might be brought together into one community centered around Christ, the Good Shepherd. Therefore, says Jesus to his disciples, because I have authority, because I have this passion, because I have this commission, this commandment to go and bring all those sheep into this sheep pen, you go, my disciples, my sheep that I have cared for and nurtured and given a vision to, you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, bringing them into that community of Father, Son, and Spirit community, community of love, baptizing them in that name and teaching them how to obey all that I have commanded you, because I'm going to be with you every step of the way, says Jesus. And so he says there will be one flock and there will be one shepherd. That is not just a prediction, it is a vision. It was great, wasn't it, to hear the old story of having a sense of belonging, feeling that he's brought into a community, that his light was flickering, and now it's beginning to burn more fully and more alive, so that he might be a light to others. And we're praying for that you might be a light, Neil, that you might be a light, Fred, that all of us might be lights in this world, burning brightly wherever we are, whatever we're doing, whether it's in accountancy, whether it's in marketing, whether it's in teaching, whether it's in our home looking after our little children, whatever it might be, that light may burn brightly. And looking back over this past year, we've been thrilled to hear from people of all ages who have been inspired by Jesus and experience something of this life that is fuller and richer than anything else we've known before. And our passion and our prayer as a church going forward is not just that more people may come to know that life. Of course it is. but that those who have already been gathered into Christ's flock may themselves learn to live that life and say a wholehearted, "Yes, Lord! Yes, Lord," every day to that big vision of seeing others not yet of this flock be brought into that Christ-centered community. A disciple is one who says, "Yes, Lord," every day. A Christian is one who says, "Yes, Lord," when they're converted. Jesus says, "You are my disciples. You do what I command." So our vision has been and will continue to be that we become, by God's grace, a community, a vibrant community of disciples who are learning to make new disciples, living out faith in a way that's authentic wherever we are. And it's just been a joy to journey together as we thought of things like Faith on the Front Line, that series that we use DVDs and preaching series, looked at the six M's as ways of seeing God already at work and seeing ourselves being fully involved in Christ's mission at his invitation. What a privilege, what a purpose. If you don't know what I'm talking about, six M's, go on the LICC website, it's all there. Being a person who molds culture, a mouthpiece for truth, a model of godly character. One who stands for truth and justice and who is a messenger of that gospel. So many different ways. We live out our discipleship on our front lines wherever we are. But we do it not in a frantic way. We do it out of a place of rest. And the significance of Sabbath enables us to be people who work from rest rather than rest from work. Because we just get burnt out doing all that we want to do. So we have to start from where God is. And that's exactly where the example of Jesus is so, so important for us. What an inspiration for living by giving Jesus is. His motive, love. And it was love that led him to give his life. Jesus gives life by giving his life. And let me finish with this. I hope it will be a very practical picture. For the key that will result in us being enabled to be those who are living by giving is to be people who are close enough to the source of that light and love to catch that light and to become a light ourselves. This is what it means. As I place the unlit candle and bring it towards the lit candle, doesn't catch light straight away. So, I'm giving up this Christianity lark. It doesn't work. I'm going to look at something else. I'm going to join a political party and make a difference to the nation by joining the Greens and changing the world through that, whatever it might be. Christianity, tried it, doesn't work. This is a bit of an improvised bit here, as you might have gathered. This movement is prayer, is meditation, is listening, is solitude, is seeking advice from other people, and drawing closer and closer to Christ by faith. And by faith, we receive God's grace. Hey! And we come alive! Yes! We come alive because we draw close to God through those spiritual disciplines, which at first might seem, this isn't working, I'm so bored, this is no good. But we do it, and we keep doing it because we obey Christ's command to draw close to him and to spend time with him and to persevere in the way. Perseverance leads to character, says St. Paul, and character brings forth hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured his Holy Spirit into our hearts through his Son, who he loves. So here we are, alive because we've drawn close to Christ. We are alive and we're a light for the Lord in our places, wherever we go, whatever we do. And you will all know of people who have inspired you and inspired others because of their life-giving living. But oh dear, now we're a light. How is this candle burning? It's burning because it's using up the wax. It's giving of itself, and there's a huge cost. There's a huge cost. So the question that Jesus asks, you know, if you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and come and follow me. Are you prepared to pay the cost for doing that? He said, the thing is, this cost that you pay will be repaid to you over and over and over again. Because, look at my life. I gave my life completely. His life was extinguished, given. But it wasn't taken from him. Jesus said, I have authority to lay it down, remember? And to take it up again. Because he is in communion with the God of life, who is the God of life and Lord of life and death. And the dynamic of death and resurrection in the life of Jesus is a dynamic that we, by his grace, are caught up with. That's what Easter's about. It's what we've been going through, that journey. And we have to ask the question, could it be that death really is followed by resurrection? Not just the end of everything, but it is a dynamic at the heart of the whole of life. And I've never, ever met a person whose life is committed to giving themselves to others be in any way diminished. Have you? Being anything other than a person who is more alive than the person who is self-centered and I want to, you know, that whole dynamic of giving brings life. It's costly, but it's life-giving for the person and for others. The self-centered life is costly because at the end, there's nothing left at all. There's no candle flame. So maybe, in God's upside down, back to front kingdom, surrender is indeed the first step to victory. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. Yet we know, Lord, that that death brought life. And we pray that your grace would so be kindled within our own lives that we might be ready to die with you so that somehow we might attain to that resurrection of the dead and live that resurrection life and give witness to your life wherever we are. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray, and fill us afresh. Come to us as a church and animate us as your life-giving body on earth, that we, with all your children, might be free and the whole earth live to your praise and glory. Amen. I'm going to invite the worship group just to come forward and to enable us to